Hi, and welcome to Let's Talk Safety. I'm your host, Dylan Sutherland from Protector Safety Gear. Throughout this series, we'll be interviewing industry experts to provide our audience with valuable insights on various categories of PPE. Topics will range from selection and standards to maintenance and care. This should ultimately assist you in selecting fit-for-purpose safety solutions for your site. From these discussions, we will create resources such as Toolbox Talk downloads and blogs, all of which will be available on our website, www.protector.co.za, for download.
All safety footwear that we provide conforms or supersedes the standard ISO 20345 minimum stipulations. And, you know, it's one of the areas where people are so focused on buying the cheapest possible product for their worker that they don't even take into account that pair of really nice branded sneaker that you buy to wear to the braai on a Saturday has zero standard attached to it, but you're paying 5 or 6 or 7 times more for that product than you are for the product that you're putting on your feet that you are going to wear every single day, that you're wearing principally to keep your feet safe and secure, you know, yet you'll go and spend, as I say, 5, 6, 7 times the amount on a shoe that you're going to wear on a Saturday afternoon. Quite bizarre.
Can't agree more.
Yeah.
Let's talk cost versus durability, because I think that's also an important factor people need to take into account. Quite often you see a site that would say, look, we're going to spec a boot. The boot needs to last 1 year or maybe 2 years, depending on the site. How do you perceive that? Is that a good way to go about it for the client, for the audience? Because essentially, they're the people that should be selecting what foot protection should be used on their site.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that determines the durability of the shoe significantly is the application. You know, there are certain applications where footwear needs to be changed regularly. Might be once every 3 months, might be once every 6 months. There are other applications, and we have examples of people who've worn our boots and shoes for 10 years. And they have been absolutely fit for purpose, and, you know, not a problem. Because application is so important, it's imperative then that you talk to your provider, because there are certain products that are designed for particular applications, which will extend the durability of that product in the application. So it's not just a simple case of, okay, this shoe's designed for 12 months or this shoe's designed for 24 months. You know, there are too many variables that need to be considered when advising, you know, what the application or what the length of use should be. But I think that the point that you're making about how good or bad a shoe is can be attached to its durability. And, you know, I mean, I use an example. At South African breweries, where, you know, there's a lot of glass that gets broken and, you know, shoes wear through really quickly because people are walking on these shards of glass, the kind of rubber outsole that you generate and develop for those sorts of applications will affect the durability of the shoe significantly. In heat type applications, you know, that will affect or will be affected by the quality of the product that you put on the outsole. So whether it be a rubber outsole or a nitrile outsole or a polyurethane outsole, you know, they all affect the lifespan of a product.
And I think those are really extreme examples, because you know it's hot or you know that glass is going to cut me. But there are also instances where, and I'll just use a practical example from our side, where We've been to a site recently, and it's quite a large, a global company, and they set a foot protection budget across the board, and the staff can select any foot protection they want. Guide me if I'm wrong. My feeling is there should be some sort of boundary. There should be some sort of risk assessment saying, look, if you're working in this department, these are your risks, whether you know it or not. Maybe it's cleaning detergent that might be a bit more damaging to the boot. Should it be a blanket approach of choose what you want, or should there be some sort of risk assessment?
No, I think that there should always be risk assessment. And particularly from a budgeting perspective, because if you've got a broad-based workforce being exposed to different environments. You know, you've already referred to the chemical exposure, but there could be temperature exposure. There could be blood and fat exposure. There could be exposure to petrol, you know. So there are all of these applications. And if you take a one-boot-fits-all type perspective, you're probably going to have an environment in your business where everybody is so completely overprotected, and another environment where they are completely underprotected. So you do need to try to understand what the, you know, what the particular application is, and then find a fit for purpose boot that meets that application. And it'll probably save you more money, because in the high risk environment, the boots will last longer because you're paying more for the boot, and it has greater technological input to be resistant, you know, in those environments, as opposed to an environment where the person, you know, might wander into a warehouse occasionally and just need a basic light industrial boot or shoe, you know, that performs an adequate protection function for the really rare opportunity of something falling on their foot.
So we've done our risk assessment, we've identified the needs. How would you speak to those people that are responsible for their foot protection? Because surely them looking after the equipment is just as important as selecting the appropriate equipment.
Yeah, there is a dual responsibility, I think, you know, when considering safety boots and shoes. You know, obviously the employer needs to take the appropriate care about selecting the product for the person who's going to be wearing it. But the person wearing it also has a responsibility to make sure that they take the appropriate care of the footwear that they happen to be wearing. So they need to, you know, one, consider it every single day that they're putting it on, potentially inspect it, you know, every now and then to make sure that it is still whole and complete and able to do the job that it's intended for. But they should also polish it, you know, when it's a leather kind of product, when it's a fabric or a mesh kind of product, to clean it, so that, you know, you're getting rid of whatever chemicals or products, you know, it may have been exposed to. Taking care of leather is a really important responsibility of the person wearing the boot and shoe, because the leather will slowly and gradually get compromised if you don't take care of it. And certain environments are harsher than others. You know, in a construction environment where, you know, you, just as an example, boots and shoes are exposed to high levels of cement and cement dust, you know, that sucks the moisture out of a leather product in no time at all. You need to try to replace that, you know, that moisture. And there are various methods that you do that. Polishing your shoes is one. Using dubbin or oil or some kind of treatment is another. But yes, there is a dual responsibility between the individual who's actually wearing the product and then the person who's providing the appropriate product.
Fantastic. So then things like polishing your boots, obviously allowing them to dry appropriately, not forcing the drying.
Yep.
That kind of mindset will ensure that you get a longer lifespan of that equipment. So would you also recommend that the audience and people responsible for the safety also upskill the people, upskill the users, because ultimately if they do that properly, their cost saving can actually sit there, right?
Yep, without a doubt. You know, and I think that they could even go beyond that. They could provide the opportunity to take care of your footwear, whether it be at the workplace or per individual, you know, by giving them polish and brushes and, you know, cleaning materials that are fit for use, you know, and make it available, you know, to those people.
Fantastic. That's a really good idea. Cool. The other concept, and I come from obviously my work at Heights understanding, is any man-made fiber breaks down once it has been manufactured or it begins breaking down. Now, whether that's over 10 years, 20 years, we generally hard and fast from a work at Heights point, because the reality is there's huge forces involved and you don't want that thing breaking when it is under those forces. Is there a general lifespan, if we can call it that, of safety boots because of them being man-made fibers, or is that not really a consideration?
No, it's very definitely a consideration. The moment you put a pair of boots or shoes on and you start walking, you start stressing certain components in the product. Then you start exposing it to the environmental conditions that the, you know, the boot and shoe gets exposed to, and that starts stressing the product. And with any kind of stressing of a product, it starts degrading. And absolutely, you know, you do need to take that into account. And that's why a boot and shoe, I mean, as a general rule of thumb, new boots and shoes should be prescribed at least once a year. So a boot is generally designed to last a minimum of 12 months. As I've already emphasized, is that application also impacts that lifespan. Yeah. And we need to take that into account when making those assessments. But a boot or a shoe principally is designed to last 12 months.
And it's probably almost the safer, better approach from the whoever's instructing the use of that safety boot to make certain that that gets changed out annually, because as you've mentioned earlier, the slight deform or the slight damage to a boot might cause a long-term damage which you're not even aware is being created.
Yeah, exactly. Quite right.
Cool. What considerations, so we've spoken a lot about material, we've spoken a lot about selecting appropriate fit for purpose material, whether it's hot, whether it's cold. The different styles of boots, there's quite a number. We're not going to dive too deeply into it, but how much of a consideration is that in your design process?
No, it is. It's a great component of the design process. So, for example, if you're designing a boot that needs to be resistant to, and I'm just picking an environment, welding as an example, we need to ensure that, you know, the sparks and the potential exposure to fire, you know, because things catch a light and, you know, when you're welding, you have all of that splatter that goes everywhere, that the boots are designed to be resistant to that. So you want a boot that doesn't have laces, as an example, because the laces, you know, if something lands on the laces, it will potentially melt, particularly if they are synthetic laces, you know. So we will design welding resistant products to have a flap over the laces if there are laces, or have no laces. You know, there's been a great resurgence in popularity of elastic sided boots or Chelsea boots for all sorts of reasons. One, because laces degrade. You know, that's a truth about footwear in any form. And without laces, you clearly then don't have to worry about that. Slipping on and off, also not something to worry about. But, you know, whether it be a shoe or a boot requires or consideration when you're designing. You have an 8-inch boot and you have a 6-inch boot. Now, 6-inch boot probably just covers, you know, to above the ankle. 8-inch goes up a little bit further, providing more ankle support. You know, so those things all come into play when you're designing a product. We put wear-resistant caps on the front of boots, the same on heels, you know, depending on the particular application. You know, if it's going to be used in a chainsaw environment, you want shoes and boots that are going to be or going to provide safety and security against a potential chainsaw cut. And, you know, those kinds of products are available. The same with temperature. You know, if somebody's going to be exposed to the risk of molten metal, as an example, they need to, one, have a boot that's going to give them a short amount of protection against it, but also allow them to get their foot out of the boot in a heck of a hurry so that, you know, they're able to get away from the temperature that it may be exposed to.
Okay, so yeah, so we see molten as a, you better make sure you've got the appropriate outside and the boot design, not design, but the boot material is appropriate. But getting out of that is hugely
important,
considerate,
too,
yeah.
So you've got to be able to get the foot or the shoe loose to get your foot out of the shoe, you
and
know. So we have quick release buckles or Velcro or, you know, and depending on the application, either or is more applicable.
Fantastic. I think there's a bit of a tricky question. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. How does it feel? Does it aggravate you, or does it make you proud when you see knockoffs of your product? I mean, some are to the degree of stealing the name. Some are just the design. How does that make you feel?
Well, yeah, interesting question. You know, what do they say? You know, copying is kind of the sincerest form of flattery. So I suppose we get a little bit flattered.
It's a good feeling to know that you're kind of leading it. I mean, that's really cool.
And particularly when it's established players in the market, you know, copying a design, and in certain instances, they don't just copy the design, they copy it exactly.
Okay, we won't get too far into that. As we're closing up, I mean, like you've mentioned, there's been good movement from an innovation point. There's been good advancement in design and material. What do you see the future as? I mean, from a work at heart's perspective, I would suggest putting a few rocket boots on there, make our life a bit easier. Also, I'm just joking. It'll probably make it more dangerous.
Yeah. There's a lot happening right now. You know, materials that shoes and boots are being made from are changing radically. And, you know, and I think that all of us, you know, who, and if you're involved in any sports or sport applications, you're finding, I mean, a running shoe now, you know, you can get running shoes that weigh next to nothing. And those sorts of technological advancements are starting to come into play with regards to safety footwear. And, you know, we're seeing recycled footwear, you know, becoming more of a consideration because of the environmental consequences to synthetic products. You know, the lightness of the shoe. You know, for people who spend a long time on their feet every single day, when you're having to drag, you know, a 500-gram boot on each foot around, it starts getting tiring. And if we can start, you know, reducing those sorts of debilitating considerations from it by making a, let's say, 100-gram boot on each foot, it becomes, you know, substantial. When you're moving hundreds of kilograms less per day on your feet, you know, surely you're going to be a little bit more energetic and a little bit more productive, a little bit more comfortable. So those things are starting to, you know, to come into play. Lacing systems. You know, we've seen that the lacing systems, you know, those dials that you can dial up your lacing and release quickly, you know, those are advancements that are happening. You know, and I'm pretty sure that we're soon going to see some kind of artificial intelligent solutions where your feet are going to be telling you about risks that you haven't quite yet known about. How it's going to happen, I don't know, but, you know, give it a chance.
Cool. Can't wait to see that happen. The last question before... We know you're a busy man and you need to run. Have you had any dealings with somebody that has come to you and said, look, Rebel has protected this person or made sure this person has not been injured by using the appropriate footwear?
Yeah. I mean, we have many, many examples of people who have retrospectively, you know, following an accident, contacted us and thanked us, you know, for the fact that we have managed to save their foot from proper and serious damage. You know, and when I say often, it's multiples per month.
Sure.
You know, and that is testament to the quality of the product that we're putting onto people's feet. But I also think it's testament to the fact that there is a growing responsibility in the market of people wearing safety footwear and identifying that it's an important thing to be, you know, wearing in an environment where there's potential risk. You know, we also have examples of people who've climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, for example, in a Rebel boot, and they'll send us a picture of them wearing their Rebels at the top of Kilimanjaro. We, at a point, used to sponsor anti-rhino poaching teams, footwear, you know, and yeah, you know, so the applications are broad, but we've got some interesting stories. I mean, we've even got pictures of people who got married in their Rebels.
That's really awesome. On that note, I mean, I get excited when I see somebody wearing a harness that we've supplied, because one, I know that person, if they are in a fall, they're going to be okay. Boots is a bit different. How often do you walk around just looking at people's feet and being like, oh, there's a Rebel? And
yeah, it's a problem I have, and if you ask Kim, my wife, you know, she'll tell you that I spend more time looking at people and their feet than I do looking at other things. So yeah,
awesome.
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but
as long as they're shoes are on, then yeah. I'm sure you're not in trouble with your wife.
And I can identify a pair of rebels from a long way.
Awesome. Gavin, thank you so much. We really appreciate your insight. And I think getting to the deeper side of how Rebel came about, but also understanding there is no compromise, understanding that when you put your foot in a Rebel, you understand that you are getting the appropriate protection that you've been promised.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having us. You know, it's great occasionally to tell your story.
Thank you for joining us, and I hope this episode added value to you. If you are experiencing any safety challenges on your sites and require any additional information, please do leave us a message on LinkedIn via Protector Safety Gears page, or alternatively follow the link below and share a message with us, because maybe it can create value or valuable conversation for future episodes. Be sure to also follow us on LinkedIn. There will be some valuable information shared from today's discussion.